This is Moments of Hope, brought to you by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I am your host, Marjolaine Francis, welcoming you to the program. Good morning, listeners. Temptation is what we will be talking about today. Temptation is inevitable. Even Jesus himself was tempted, yet he did not give in. As we approach Christmas, there is a temptation to overspend, overeat, overindulge, and the list goes on. What are you currently tempted by? We are reminded in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Thankfully, Christians, believers, everyone, we can protect ourselves against giving into temptation when they are presented to us. There is a way of escape. My guest today is Reverend Valentine Rodney. He's Minister of the Gospel, best-selling author, Deputy Director of Bilderman Foundation, and Director of Word Impact Ministries International. Today, we will discuss a way of escape. Rev will tell us how to handle temptations. Reverend Valentine Rodney, welcome.
Thank you, Marge. It's a pleasure to be on.
Good to have you again. Last year, when you shared with us from The Power of the Secret Place, one of the books that you have written, one of the best-selling books. Yes, you have written several books since then, and the newest kid on the block is A Way of Escape: How to Handle the Test and Temptations of Life. Now, I'd love for you to share with our listeners what inspired you to write this book.
Well, it has been a journey, more or less. And I think what provoked me was a friend of mine. We were talking, and he reminded me of a message that he had listened to several years ago when I spoke about the whole issue of temptation. And he kind of indicated how this message had impacted his life as a young person. Then I got a call from the States. Another person wanted to use my material because he was developing something and he was asking for permission and was literally stating how much this has impacted his life. So, and then I got a call now to do a morning devotional program. And I said, okay, let me just use this since, there seemed to be a buzz as it relates to temptation and testing. And so I went on, started talk about temptation, and I ended up doing about seven or eight programs just on temptation. Then, the persons on the program were clamoring, why don't you write a book on this? And so I said, good idea. And after a few weeks, we had a book out. We have, We Have Escape, with 11 chapters in that particular book. So that was like, what was the genesis of it?
The genesis of it, and the book is out. It's on Amazon. I hear it's number one.
Yes, it is, for a
You
few days now.
For a few days now. So, listeners, as you tune in, you can get ready to get your copy of A Way of Escape. Rev, I'd love for you to tell us, you've written this book. How do you define temptation?
Well, temptation must be seen as an evil incentive. You could look at temptation as an enticement to do something that is wrong. And even though it's wrong, it carries with it the promise of pleasure or gain. And it speaks to a strong urge to go against, God's standard that he has literally set up. But when you look at the whole matter of temptation, it normally results in the committing of sinful acts.
Results in the committing of sinful acts, even though it starts out looking like something that will give you a reward, eh?
Precisely. But it carries consequence. And sometimes that is the hidden thing behind the whole matter of temptation. As we always say, before every sin comes a temptation.
Interesting. As you speak of that, you in the book, there is a chapter on the truth about temptations that every Christian should know. People are listening this morning. Tell us, what is that truth that we need to know?
All right. When you look at the truth, because what we're trying to do is to unmask what this thing of temptation is all about. And as I alluded to earlier, between the next sin and where you're at right now is a temptation. Now, when you look at the truth of it, I'm gonna talk about a couple of things. Number one, temptations are the primary reason why you desire to sin. If it was not for temptation, there would be no sin at all. And sin comes in three distinct areas: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and of course, the pride of life.
Right.
Now, the thing with temptations is that it becomes particularly dangerous, especially when you think you can't fall. So sometimes people become very arrogant in terms of their overall disposition, or they can become impulsive or careless. And these are some of the things that would define they're not as alert or as watchful as they literally should be. And these are some of the fundamental things that we need to understand about temptation, right? Those are just a couple of the things, but there are several more that gems that are hidden within the context of the book.
I hear you. We should go get the book, right? That's just a touch of
Precisely.
tip of the iceberg.
Right.
Rev, the Bible clearly states that for every temptation, there is a way of escape. I don't know if you have experienced it, but I have in some instances, the temptation is at the doorstep and you see the way of escape, but the impulse is so great to move towards the temptation that you just do it. And then you said temptation is really leading us to sin. What do you think accounts for some Christians being in a cycle of giving into temptation? We sin, then we confess, and we say, God may not do it again, and then sin again.
All right, there's a number of things I'd want to address as it relates to that particular thought. You see, sometimes people don't understand that there are two aspects to temptation. There's what is without, right? And there's what is within. What is within is what we call desire. You cannot be tempted by anything that you do not have a desire for. You have to have a desire for it. And in a lot of cases, this desire can be corrupted so that you start going after fulfilling something that is going to violate a principle. So, first of all, desire is inside of you. James puts it this way: a man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lusts and enticed. So, therefore, the enemy provides what we call an evil incentive. So, there are two things. One, there's a desire within you. And number two, there's a provocation or the incentive to do wrong that is without. Notice that in the book of Genesis, when the serpent came to the woman, and he specifically said there are a couple of things that he spoke about. Number one, what did God say? What does the word of God say? So he tried to twist the word of God so that there would be what we call deception, because temptations
Deception.
come with deception, right? What did God say? Then he reinterpreted. This is not what God really means. God knows that the day you eat this fruit, you're going to become as gods, knowing good and evil. So God is hiding something from you. And so what we find is that that is how the enemy operates. So you have the desire within inside of you, but then the enemy also will try to solicit you to do something that goes against the grain of what the word of God literally says, right? I need to mention really quickly also that temptations come from the enemy. God will never tempt you to do anything that is wrong. God will test you. God will cause you to go through trials. Now, here's the thing, Marja. Sometimes when we are tested, there can be a solicitation to do something wrong. So it is not that God is trying to make us do something evil. Why would God? set up principles, right? Then tempt us to break them. No,
I
that
think
is not
not.
how God operates, not at all. So what we're saying, if you look at the situation with Job, for example, in the book of Job,
Yes.
where the enemy appeared in the midst, Satan appeared in the midst, God said, "Have you considered my servant Job, or that he's upright?" Here is what Satan said to God: "You have put a hedge around him. I can't break through into that. Remove the hedge, then he will curse it to your face." And so what we see, therefore, right, is God allowing Job to be tested, but the enemy used the test to tempt him to try to violate God's principle. Here's what Job said. Job said, "Listen to me, I came naked into the world, I'm going back naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Blessed be
In
the
fact,
name
he
of the
told his
Lord.
wife, "You're talking like one of those foolish persons. I'm not going to curse God and die." So he passed the test. And if you pass the test, you'll be victorious over the temptation.
If you passed the test, you'll be victorious over the temptation. I hear you, Rev. I also hear you saying that the temptation comes from within. There's a desire, and if we don't
Yeah,
have the
desires within. Yeah.
desire, if we don't have the desire, then we really are not going to be tempted. What about persons who are saying, Rev, you can talk what you want to talk. Every time the temptation come, I do everything that I can to get through it, but I just keep falling into it. What would you say to persons like that?
I would say to that person, right? Number one, the love of Christ can constrain you. The more you love God, the easier it becomes to dislike what he dislikes and to resist what you need to. What does the scripture say? Draw near unto God, and he will draw near unto you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the matter here, Marja, is that there is a taking of personal responsibility. A lot of times people come up with various kind of excuses as to why they fall prey to sin. The devil made you do it. No, the devil can't make you do anything. We are tempted by the flesh. We're tempted by the world. We're tempted by the devil. But sin is a matter of choice. We sin because we want to do it. There is that desire that we're going after. One of the things that helps, and the book really highlights this, sometimes we need to stop talking to ourselves, because sometimes we convince ourselves that this is the action that we ought to take. And if we stop talking to ourselves, or if we do what Philippians says, we take our minds and begin to think on something far more wholesome. In a lot of cases, right, we are the ones that set ourselves up for a fall, because sometimes of what we entertain, what you entertain can end up creating a problem within the context of your life. And so people need to understand, number one, you have to got to be accountable to someone.
Yes.
Find somebody that you can be accountable to. Number three, you have to read the word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways, but by taking heed thereto according to God's word. So if you do not know the word, you cannot apply what you don't know. So the very scriptures that should keep you from sin, if you don't commit, number one, to memorizing, to understanding, and to applying it, then you're going to find that you are perpetually becoming the victim. Number four, you have to learn to say no. Have to learn that critical word to say no. Even though your emotions might be screaming at you, there is one word that you can say: no, I will not. So even though the desire comes, you can say no. This is what Joseph did. Because I don't for 1 minute believe that Joseph was perhaps not attracted to that woman. This is my way of thinking about it, because it was every day she was at him. But here's what he said: "How can I do this thing, this wicked thing, and sin against my God?" So he made a choice. He made a decision that he preferred to live a wholesome life. Number five, there's got to be dependency on the Holy Spirit, right? Remember, the Holy Spirit will convict you that, hey, listen, this thing is wrong. You don't need to partake, or you don't need to go that way. So we need to trust the Holy Spirit. And when he speaks to us concerning a decision that we are trying to make, we need to listen to him. A lot of times we shun him And then we end up with the problem of the guilt and so on. But listen to me, Marjorie. Once you sin, it becomes easier to sin again. And the more you sin, the easier it becomes. But hear me, there is enough power that God has to break that perpetual cycle. But you must come yielded, you must come surrendered, and you must believe that God is going to help you through this, because in your own strength, you can't do it. You have to trust Him.
We have to trust God, not in our own strength, but in the strength and power of God. We have been focusing on a way of escape, how to handle temptations. My guest is Reverend Valentine Rodney, and he has been telling us just how do we handle temptations, which is inevitable. All of us are going to be tempted. He said we're tempted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, tempted within and without. Rev, you spoke earlier of us also when we're tempted to understand that being accountable is important. So you're not just saying, hey, I'm over here struggling and I don't know what to do, but get purses to help. Many purses are from a church family here in Jamaica, yes, and over the world too. How can church leaders help their members in handling the tests and temptations of life?
I think a lot of openness and honesty needs to come to the forefront, because sometimes, we make it appear as if, we have never struggled, we have never gone through anything, right? We have always been pristine, we have always been paragons of virtue. And so sometimes people don't hear the complete story. And
That's
so it tends
true.
to breed a lot of frustration, especially when persons are faced with temptations. And there is this repeated failure. So as a community, right, we have a responsibility to restore persons who have fallen and not to mistreat, abuse, or to reject them. Rejection is not going to help. Restoration is going to. In fact, there's an entire chapter dedicated to restoring the fallen, because sometimes we do make mistakes, we do trip up, right? And I think that a lot of times we don't preach grace with love. We make it appear as if God is just this vindictive God waiting for you to do something wrong so that he can get at you.
Not the
So we see
truth.
God more as a punisher than a reconciler. And so I think that strong teaching will have to be done, very practically oriented teaching, not this airy fairy pie in the sky type of thing, but real practical down to earth to show strategies that persons can employ in order to be able not to become this, perpetual victim. We're going to have to get persons to engage in prayer. Prayer
Yes.
is critical, because this is what defines and this is what promotes strength among the believer. That whole thing of meditation, just regurgitating, going over the word of God, committing scriptures to memory, seeking to find out how do I apply this within the context of my life. Because listen to me, it's difficult, if not impossible, to apply any scripture that you have not understood. And so that whole ease of, the believing community being taught the word of God, right? Things being highlighted. And then you do regular checks on the believers to
Check-ins.
ensure that they are maintaining their faith and their faithfulness. But I want to say something else, Marja. I think one of the common things that persons don't recognize, there is no temptation you face that is unique to you. Any temptation you can face, somebody else has faced it, somebody has overcome it, and somebody can help you. Sometimes we're not willing to accept or to embrace the help because of pride or arrogance. Some you can't have a know-it-all attitude and believe that, listen to me, if I can't find a way, there is no way. No. This is where we're going to have to trust believers that God has placed in the community that can assist us in terms of overcoming. And that's why testimony services are so important.
Oh,
I mean, it's not
yes,
about just
we
sharing song.
overcome.
No, not what the songwriter said. It's what I have been through and how
Yes.
God has helped me, right, to live a life of victory. And this is what this book is all about, helping.
Oh.
In fact, I would dare say that this book is ex I mean, every person that comes into the church should have a copy of this. It would save their life. 11 chapters, that shows you how to deal with the regular day-to-day affairs that you'll encounter in this life.
In this life. Well said, listeners. You need to get your copy of A Way of Escape, Handling the Tests and Temptations of Life. Rev, there's so much more that we could talk about today, but as we close, what word of encouragement do you have for persons who are listening this morning and they are currently struggling to choose the way of escape that God offers?
Critical point there. The Bible says God provides the way of escape. We must use it.
Yes.
Sometimes we're in a situation where a telephone call can save us from becoming a victim, right? But we have to look for the escape route and trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit to take us out of this thing. So we have to be willing to be led. If you're not willing to be led, it's going to become a very difficult exercise for you. And my parting words would be, remember this. God is still the devil's boss. He's far more powerful than the enemy can ever hope to be. God can strengthen you so that you are able to overcome the wiles of the wicked one. And remember that greater is he
that
is in you than he that is
in
the
world. Thank you so much for sharing, Rev. I'll ask you to close in prayer for us.
Father, how much we thank you for the revelation that comes through your words. We recognize the truth about temptation, this evil incentive, that which is endeavoring to move us away from a consistent Christian life. But we thank you for the agent of the Holy Spirit that not only convicts us, but guides us into all truth. Thank you for the strength that you provide as we read the word. As we communicate, we fellowship, we build our relationship with you, that we become strengthened, Lord, that we be able to resist the devil so that he will be able to flee from us. Thank you, God, that your word within our hearts can prevent us from sinning against you. Thank you also that your words are a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. So for everyone that is struggling, Father, hope has come. Hope is in Jesus, and hope is in the word of God. Thank you, Lord, as we treasure this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. May I remind you, the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica brings moments of hope to you every Sunday at 7:30 a.m., thanks to my guest, Reverend Valentine Rodney. Thanks to you, our listeners. If you need prayer, counseling, or further information, call the Missionary Church Association office at 924-1378. Also, link us on Facebook at Moments of Hope MCAJ with your comments. You can also send a WhatsApp at 791-0527. I am Marja Elaine Francis. Regardless of what you encounter in life, there is hope and there is power in prayer. Hebrews 11 verse 6 reminds us that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. I invite you to pray by yourself or join with a family member or a friend, and let us pray being mindful that God answers prayers. Tune in again next week for another moment of hope.